is an amazing time to all be together, to remember Jesus. Amen? So we can look at many different scriptures, and you can look at the end of Mark, the end of Matthew, the end of Luke. But this morning we're going to look at the end of John. And I was very encouraged to hear one of the orthopedic surgeons came to me. He said, "Rory, I love bringing a hammer to church. This is what I work with every day." So, I mean, it's very nice to know you're going to have a knee operation and the doctor's going to go in with a hammer. So, lekker, Willem. I wonder how many blows put him on the cross. I wonder what people thought when they heard that noise and he remained completely and utterly silent. He did not say one word. He sucked all the pain of humankind into his body so that when you ever feel pain, you can go and hide it in him. Because the Bible says he bore our pain. Amen. And he bore our iniquities. And he bore our sinfulness on the cross. I want to speak to you, friends. On what I believe are the five nails of Easter. Let's read John chapter 19. And verse 13. When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of Passover week, about the sixth hour. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. Keep your fingers there and turn to Mark 15, please. And verse 12, "What shall I do then with the one that you call King of the Jews?" Pilate answered them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" Verse 14 asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him," wanting to satisfy the crowd. Say that with me. Wanting to satisfy the crowd. You know, when you get a little bit older, the crowd is not that important anymore. But when you're young, the crowd is very important. Young people, there is an incredible pressure for you to satisfy the crowd. There's a peer group pressure, whether you're in business or in sport or at school or university, there's a crowd that shouts all the time. And Easter is the time where you have to make a decision to please Christ and silence the crowd. Amen. Let's go back to the book of John and pick up in verse 16. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him, and with two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross, nailed to the cross, tradition tells us, the first nail, had a notice prepared nailed to it. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Anton, just come and stand here, please. You just hold it for me, please. First nail. Scared of the crowd, handed over to the crowd, in charge of everybody, but at the crucial moment, he decides to put up a sign that says, King of the Jews. And they say, don't put up a sign that says, King of the Jews, but that he professed to be the King of the Jews. He says, what I have written in Latin, Hebrew, and Greek. Latin was the language of government. Hebrew was the language of religion. And Greek was the language of culture and business. And Pilate says, you can do what you like, but I'm telling you that this guy is the king of culture, religion, business, and government. And today, while the crowd shouts at you, and sometimes you only come to church every now and again, Easter's one of the Sundays, because the voice of the crowd and the acceptance of the crowd is so important to you. Like Pilate, may we stand up and nail into the cross that says, in my life, he is the king. He is king of Rory. He's king of Pretoria. He's king of my sexuality. He's king of my finances. He's king of my marriage. He's king of my friendship. He's king of my tongue. And I don't care what the crowd says. Today I stand up publicly and say, he is the king. Let's keep reading. I won't preach long. He gets crucified. Later knowing, verse 28, for time's sake, later knowing that all was now completed and so the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head. Say bowed. There are only two words in the Bible, Greek words, with that word bow. The first one is a scripture Jesus uses. It says, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has got nowhere to lay his head. That word is the word bow. Same, only appears twice in the Bible. The Son of Man has got nowhere to lay his head. So when he died, he bowed his head. That was the place that Jesus was always meant to lay his head down. And with these three nails, there and there, and one in his went through both his feet. From that cross, he said seven things to us that we need to be reminded of in Easter. The first thing he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And I want to say, if you're here today, these three nails that hung Jesus on the cross were so that you can be forgiven of your sin. The second thing he said, he had a crook this side, and he had a crook that side, and they were busy arguing. And then the one crook said, no, we're here for our own sins. He's here for somebody else's sin. And he said, please remember me. And it says this on the cross. He said, today I tell you, you will be with me in paradise. Amen. You have to understand, especially friends, in this culture of Pretoria, where we think that we can please God. The crook had one nail in here, one nail in there, and one in his feet. He couldn't move his hands and he couldn't move his feet. He could do nothing for God. He could not walk for God. He could do absolutely nothing. He couldn't even be baptized. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. I want to remind you on Easter Sunday, friends, it's got nothing to do with what you can do for Jesus. It's got everything to do with what Jesus has done for you. So stop working for him. Stop trying to please him. Just believe him. The third reason, and some people will be here because you're lonely and you don't know where else to go, your family are away. From the cross, Jesus looked down and he said to his mother, said, Mother, your son, John, your mother. And in the midst of his great pain, he was thinking of other people and he was putting people into family. He was redefining what family was. And family wasn't a mother and a father with a couple of children living in suburbia. Family was a group of people who came around the cross to look at these three nails that were piercing our Savior. And in that place, he put us into family. That means you were born in wedlock, out of wedlock, that you got divorced. It doesn't matter, friends. Jesus says to you, son, your brother. Mother, your son. Son, your mother. And from the cross, he starts to put a spiritual family in place. That's why we're here today. Then he says, I am thirsty. And we preached about it a few. He drinks all the excrement of humankind. He drinks it. And then he says, it is finished. And then he says an incredible thing in the middle. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Because there are going to be people at 3CI in April 2017 who felt rejected, felt forsaken, felt abandoned. They're going to be there. And from the cross, Jesus is going to say, I accept you. He says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The question I want to ask is, who took these nails out? Who took these three nails out? You see, the problem, friends, with us as Christians, one of the problems is that we take this nail out and the fifth nail out and we keep these three nails in. These three nails that kept Jesus on the cross have got to come out and the other two nails have got to stay in. Let's see who took them out. You with me? Later, Joseph, verse 38 of John 20. You can put your other finger in Mark 15. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly. Say secretly. How many of you are secret disciples of Jesus? Come to church on Sundays, you're at university, but secretly following Christ. Go to your business meetings, but secretly follow Christ. Look what it says in Mark chapter 15. Verse 42, it was preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, so he's on the Jewish council, but he believes in Jesus, but secretly, so no one really knows, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly, say boldly. He went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. He never died from crucifixion. He died from a broken heart. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, and he wrapped it in the linen. Joseph took these nails out of Christ. He served him secretly, but when he saw him die, he started to serve him publicly. Pilate was scared of the crowd, but when he saw the crunch came, he made a public declaration that Jesus was the king. Easter, friends, is not a time to come out of hiding and come to church and go back into hiding. Easter is a time to make a public declaration of your faith in Jesus. Pilate did it. Joseph of Arimathea did it, and I believe Easter demands that we do it too. For time's sake, let's go to verse 10 of chapter 20. It says, and the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary Magdalene, verse 20, chapter 1, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene. Say Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene. Keep your fingers there, turn to Luke 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 1. Don't worry about the preacher. I just want you to catch the heart. After this, verse 8. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Sexual demons, psychological demons, violence demons. If you read the stories of demons in the Bible, most times people ended up in the tombs. They ended up in a place of death. They caused havoc. They caused destruction. They were demented. They made noise. They violently protested against things. They interrupted all the time. But when the nails came out of the cry of Christ, then the bondage came out of people. And Jesus chose to use Mary Magdalene, a former demoniac, to be the first person to publicly declare his resurrection. Because when the nails come out of Christ, bondage comes off people. Disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw 2 angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni." When he called her woman, she never recognized him. Because a woman had no standing in society, and everybody called woman, woman. But when he called her Mary, she recognized her because Jesus gave everybody identity. She recognized him because he had called her Mary since the day that he had met her, even when she was demonized. And he could have looked across and he said, "I could have chosen one of the high priests of the Sanhedrin. I could have chosen a politician. I could have chosen a famous sportsman. I could have chosen a successful businesswoman. But I choose a woman with no standing who was outside society. I bring her inside society so that the public outcast will be the first person to make a public broadcast of Christ." That is the message of Easter. Rabboni, which means teacher, Jesus said, "Do not hold on to her, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Friends, the nails, these 3, could not hold him. The tomb could not hold him. And Mary could not hold him. She said, "Let me go now." No human being, no church, no group of people can hold Christ. He said, "I'm going to go to the Father now, and you're going to experience me in a different way. I'm going to go, and the Spirit's going to come. You won't feel me physically, but you'll feel me by the presence of the Holy Spirit." Colossians chapter 2, please. This is my friend. Just phoned him this week and said, "Hey, come to church today. I've seen Jesus do this for you. I didn't plan to use you as the example. But we met by supernatural means. And I believe Easter Sunday is for you and for you and for everybody who's visiting here today. Verse 9. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Say all. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. That, friends, is a word in Greek, titulus. It is a list of crimes. It's a list of sins. It's a list of wrongdoings that was nailed to the cross. And when a man was crucified, he would take his cross with the nails in here. They would take that piece of paper. They would nail it to the cross. And he would walk through the town. And people would spit at you and jeer at you and say, go to hell. Go to hell, you adulterer. Go to hell, you murderer. And your list of sins was there. You know what the scripture says? While Jesus was walking with the thing on, he was looking at people jeering and shouting and screaming and spitting at him, and he reached his hand into it, and he said, I'll take your list. I'll take your list. I'll take your list. And I'm going to nail it to the cross. I'm going to nail it. Every sin, every discrepancy, every shortfall, I'm going to nail it to the cross. And you know what it goes on to say in the scripture? He said, I made a public, say public, a public spectacle of the devil. Pilate on Easter Sunday, from appeasing the crowd, went public and said, Jesus Christ is the King. Joseph of Arimathea, who was scared of the Jews, served Jesus secretly. On Easter Sunday, he went public and said, I serve Jesus Christ, the King. Mary, who was an outcast, Mary, who was put to the side, a demoniac, a woman with no thing, on Easter Sunday, she made a declaration publicly, he is risen. And the Bible says Jesus took our sin, our titulus, our long list of debts. That's what it means. You would sign a credit note to say, I, Rory, owe Adrian, R1,000. You would sign it, and every time I walked past him, he'd shake it at me and say, you owe me R1,000. You know what the first message of Easter is? The first message Jesus speaks? When he comes into his disciples, he says, peace be with you. If we have a king, you will always have peace. If you keep your sin on the cross, you will always have peace. If you let the finished work of Jesus do its work, you will always have peace. If this nail comes off, or if this nail comes off, you will lose your peace. And I say to you today on Easter Sunday, peace be with you. In Jesus' name.